now we have Mr. Ray Starr. Ray Starr has served 12 years as a statistician at the largest public health plan in the United States, serving Medicaid and Medicare populations in an ethically diverse urban county in the Southwest United States. Ray has managed the CAHPS Patient Experience Survey from 2006 to 2015, with a focus on making the survey results actionable and designing interventions to improve quality of servings. He is currently using CAHPS to analyze appointment delay as an access barrier. Now we have Mr. Ray Starr.
I had a colleague go give a presentation at Love Airfield in Texas, and he got lost. And so he reported back, got back. We consoled him that it was better to have gone to Love and gotten lost than not to have gone to Love at all. And that's what I feel like at the moment. I trusted the bus schedule and the directions to get to the wrong building. So you handled that gracefully. Thank you. This is a very simple presentation. There's no powerful technique behind it. I work at a health plan. We gather a lot of data, mostly for checkbox studies that are required for regulatory reasons. And so it's an applied statistical problem. Eventually, as reforms take hold, we will be accountable to show improvements based on actually evidence-driven findings using some of the mountains of data that we have. So I'm a little frustrated. I get all this data, we put it on the shelf, and don't do anything with it. So for about 33 presentations at APHA, I've been doing a little bit at a time, applying some simple statistical technique to our data to try to give something useful to management. And I ought to give my disclosure. This is where I'm employed. I don't have any financial relationships to report other than my employer, and I'm not selling you health insurance today. I'll go through this outline fairly quickly. There are a lot of words on the slides, but the story is fairly simple. This is the setting where the data are gathered. We are one of two health plans in California, in Los Angeles County, that market Medicaid health insurance. And we're roughly one in five people in the county is in the health plan. We're a very, very diverse population, which will play into the statistical findings a little bit in a moment. The topic is we measure access to care. Okay, CAHPS is designed at the fourth grade reading level so that people can answer very simply regardless of where they're from, because many of our patients are immigrant and English is a second language. And so this questionnaire is very simple. So it asks something like, how often did you get care that you needed as soon as you thought you needed? When you needed care right away, how often did you get it as soon as you needed? And when you needed just a routine checkup, how often did you get it as soon as you needed? That's fine, and we're rated and compared to other health plans nationally. But what does management do with that finding? Because it's inherently subjective, right? We don't know what visits during the year the member is thinking about, how long they waited to get an appointment for what visit. And what is as soon as you needed, or as soon as you thought you needed, what does that mean? What is management supposed to do with that finding? We know how to improve wait times. You hire more doctors, open more hours at each clinic, which is rather expensive. And California has the lowest reimbursement rate for Medicaid in the nation. So there's not a lot of resource in the network to put into that sort of effort without some evidence-based reason. So the thought here is, if I can give management some other number other than as soon as you needed or as soon as the patient thought they needed, what does that mean in terms of days? How many days would we have to reduce wait time for that to mean anything in terms of a tangible target or goal? So that's the essence of the problem. Have a semantic problem. How do you apply math to it to put a number behind as soon as you need it? The common measures are on CAHPS. It's called getting care quickly, and it's a composite made up of a couple of simple questions. One is urgently, when you needed care right away versus when you got routine care, and that's a combined measure. I'll skip past most of the word slides. We're allowed to add questions to CAHPS to a limited extent. We're allowed 12 slots, so. We're also regulated by the state, asks us to meet a certain timely access standard for routine care. PCP or specialist, so it's divided by two kinds of providers. And then for urgently, the same types of providers. But CAHPS does not divide them that way. So I added questions to CAHPS, which asked for those four categories, specialist and PCP, urgent versus non-urgent care. And by urgent, I'm going to use the term urgent. I don't mean urgent care centers. I mean when the patient thought they needed care right away, and doctor, can you see me? Can you fit me in? So I built these four questions and tacked it onto a survey. Patient assessment survey is something Dana Safran and I forget the co-author at Pacific Business Group for Health in San Francisco. We borrowed their instrument and used it on a large sample. This was piggybacked on a P4P, a pay-for-performance program, which has nice large samples. Has a couple of wrinkles in that it's sampling patients, not members. A patient is a health plan member who has a visit, and a member is a patient without a visit. So this is representative of the patients who had visits with doctors. So they actually got their visits. So there's a little bit of a bias there right off the bat in my measure. But it's kind of typical of the kind of data we have. It isn't perfect. It's archival data, so I'm going to use it for what worth I can get out of it to give whatever guidance I can to management. So I used this survey, got a nice large sample. It's designed around medical groups. We have about 40 entities that we survey. LA County has about 27,000 to 30,000 providers who are contracted with multiple health plans in various ways. So I'm sampling medical groups. Problem with that is it's designed to represent them, not the health plan. So when I pool it, we arrived at a fairly complex formula for trying to weight that to get it back to the population, or rather representative of our population and the health plan at large. It turned out it didn't have that much effect to do the weighting. And this won't be weighted data that I'm presenting in this stage. The results are as follows, and again, this is fairly simple. The questions on CAHPS are the never, almost, on PASS, I should say, patient assessment survey. It's a flavor of CAHPS. It's the CAHPS clinician and group survey before that was developed as a survey. It's sort of the precursor. AHRQ considers it equivalent to version 2 of CG-CAHPS. They have a 6-point scale, which is a little bit of a problem when I try to generalize back to how are we scored by NCQA on CAHPS when we get accredited and get compared to other health plans. That's the score I'm trying to move, is a 4-point measure, which is never, sometimes, usually, always. This one has two categories, almost always and almost never. So I'll have a little difficulty until I get into real CAHPS, where I've been adding the same four questions for several years. What I'm displaying here is that for adult PCP, routine care, this slide is about routine care for adults on the adult CAHPS survey. That's people 18 and over. People from age 0 to 17.999 are in the child survey, which is answered by the parent or guardian. So this is adults answering for themselves. What I'm trying to match up with is, what do these words mean? What does never mean in terms of a real number of days? So the average is 11.007 for adults answering never. So what I'm looking for are the thresholds. So management can decide, how many days would we have to move this measure in order to look better on the survey each year, to show some improvement to the regulatory agency? So how do we move? How many days do we have to go to move never to almost never and almost never to sometimes? And in this case, the data threw a wrinkle at me in that the almost never, the people answering that, had a higher average, so it isn't perfectly ordered at that bottom end. And as the standard deviations below those columns show, it's fairly noisy at the bottom end, whereas at the high end, it's less noise. Still a lot of noise in the measure, but it's ordered. And it's better than what management has at the moment, is trying to figure out what the members mean by got care as soon as I need it. So what it's telling me anyway is that there is an ordered set which shows me how many days each one of those is thinking they waited, which amounted to an answer of never. I never got care as soon as I needed. I almost never got care as soon as I needed. So how many days do I have to move them? So what this graph is attempting to do in a weak way, how I tested it was, ANOVA was a nice, handy way to test this, because I have a continuous variable on one side and a categorical variable on the other. It's an unbalanced design. The categories have different sample size, so I used Welch instead of the regular ANOVA. Welch is the last of the W, which the manual I'm using is the SAS statistical guide on how, suggests that this had better properties on type 2 error than Tukey would have been my test of choice that I'm more familiar with. But this one seemed better behaved. So it shows one group standing by itself. That one's significantly different from this, significantly different from that. And this one has some overlap, so that there's blending of those two. So it has three. So at least there's some distinction where we can say, okay, how many days of weight can I reduce to move definitely from one group significantly to another? So what I'm attempting to summarize at the bottom here, what is a minimal change? If management has time to wrap their minds around at least one change, well, they could go for a small change. These, because they're the most negative responses, the member doesn't know that they're giving a negative response or a positive. They're censoring a question, how often did you get care as soon as you need it? It's scored the way it's scored is. These are considered positive responses. These are considered negative responses in the formula that count against this. So moving the negative responses would be virtuous. That would help the overall score. Or if management wanted to be a little more aggressive, they could try to move up from the midpoint of that set to the midpoint of that set. And this is the number of days they would have to move that. Moving that number is quite expensive. Renting doctors is expensive, and putting a clinic open extra hours is kind of expensive. There is another way to tackle the problem on government minute. But at least it gives us a target which we never had before. Because it's a subjective measure, people didn't tend to engage it. So it's just left. We got the score we got, and CAPS is not actionable, is the narrative that comes out of that, which we kept hearing. People that go to conferences come back and say, we talked to health plans around the country, and I'm literally hearing this from my clients inside the health plan, CAPS is not actionable. But this is starting to be actionable. That's a tough thing to do, to move that. But to move this one, if these are in clusters, that would be the next step, is to find out, are they in isolated clinics? Then moving these smaller numbers is a little easier. So we have, CAPS has anonymous data, so we can't know who answered it. But on a survey like this, which happens to be PASS, it's non-anonymous. We don't give the findings to the doctors, so they can't retaliate against members who answered negatively or reward members who answered positively. So we keep the data sequestered in the health plan. But we can intervene in whatever way doesn't give away the identity to the member. Either one of those goals would work as advice to management. I'm going to move to the next set of comparisons. This is routine care from PCP for adults. So then we come to children. Routine care from PCP to the child. A little different numbers. Now it's nicely ordered. Care as soon as I need it, so it's following in a logical fashion for the children. The median is still going a little crazy, so I know there are oddities about the data. I know it's not a nice, clean, well-behaved measure, because even though I'm getting solid days instead of the as soon as you need it measure, which is subjective, does a member really recall, and can they do this calculus in their head while they're answering the survey as to, gee, I went to the doctor on this date and this date, and I had three visits, and I'm going to average them in my head while I'm answering the survey? So I know in advance that this has got to be also a subjective measure, even though they're answering in days. So I've got two kind of fuzzy measures, but are they logical and consistent? For the children, this is consistent with our findings on CAPS for years. Children tended to answer, the parents tend to answer more favorably. Is that because it's not them personally receiving the care, it's their child receiving the care, but in the care of other child, but their teachers. So this is routine care for the child. Similar story. Again, it has groups that are statistically significant. So there's some differentiation that I can work with. Oh, I ought to mention that. Throughout, somewhat an abusable statistic. It's sometimes borderline, but it does concern me that it's there. I have outliers. I'm reluctant to throw them out. There aren't that many, and I really want to have an explanation for them beforehand. For instance, a few would answer 365 days. That's kind of an obvious number. They're not thinking of what I want them to be thinking of. It's literally the number of days they waited instead of saying, well, I never got the care I wanted, so I'm just going to toss in a year, 365 days. So I'm not always sure what some of the high-end people are answering or where they got that number. There's a lot of heaping around 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, so there's some odd properties in this. As a first cut, it's telling me stuff that's logical. I'm going to move on. Okay, this is urgent care from a specialist to the adult, and so it has similar sort of pattern. Again, for the adults, this is flipped. Again, that's a lot, which makes me think, I really know I have two populations in there. We're a plan of moms and kids. We were TANF and AFDC. It was a network built for moms and children originally. But then adults who were on fee-for-service, who had disabilities, were pushed into managed care starting about the year this survey was conducted in 2011. So I believe for adults, there are those two dissimilar populations where they might be rating it kind of differently. And I'm thinking once I break out the disabled population, that may sort out the problem I'm having at the bottom end of that measure. And the last main category, I have one more slide after this for something else. This is for specialists for children. The median is zero, so there are a lot of zero responses, which, according to the vendor who conducted this survey, are not. They're answering something there that they didn't wait, but I kind of don't trust part of that number. So I have work to do yet with the results to see what I can figure out to clean out some of the values that are troubling me a little bit. But again, it produces a number. For specialist service, it's not surprising to me that the wait days are very short because the state standard is within 48 hours. The person's supposed to be at specialist care rapidly if they're in an urgent situation. So some of this makes sense. But that one would be a little easier to move for management to move, even though specialists are more expensive. We have about 7,000 specialists on our network. Technically contracted to us, not all are used, but they're technically available to us, as opposed to 3,000 PCPs. So that's something workable through resources. And finally, there was another measurement for access to specialists. It had a problem in that in the regular PASS survey, it didn't ask whether it's for routine care or urgent care, so I had to average those. So this is a different cut, a different variable on the survey, looking at the same sort of thing. But I use this one because it gave finer detail on the specialists. So this slide talks about disparities. So the groups in green had a little faster service. The ones in red had less fast service. I'll summarize that on another slide in words. But there, the message there is age 56 and above, and those are almost certainly the disabled population that was pushed out of fee-for-service into managed care. So there's some warning signs there, and there's some targeting that can be done off this measure to say we've got a problem with this demographic or that demographic not getting the care that they needed. I'm not going to cover all the words, but my learning objectives are the promises I made, so I better give the findings on that. Principal barrier to use and patient self-reported measures of access are CAPS questions in the time frame are framed as subject to ratings using words. And I believe this addresses that need or addresses that problem by putting numbers behind what do the words mean in terms of days of wait. So I think it adds value to a tool that 70% of patients in the United States are rating health plans using this tool. Because people in another way to turn it into something useful. What is best to say in the last moment or two? The two ways that people can, I think I'll go to actionability. The two ways to use the data are either to try to rent more doctors and open clinics longer. That's an expensive thing. The other way health plans try to deal with this kind of data is to address patient expectations. But if it's subjective words, how do they tell them? Are they coaching them how to answer the survey, which is a bad idea? Or rather, with a target, with numbers in mind, as to how long is reasonable given XYZ condition. So patient education is one approach. It's not all that expensive if done through newsletters and mailers, but it's not all that effective. So from system analytics standpoint, mixed solutions usually work best. And so the finding here would support, let's do more than one intervention, but do some real problem formulation to figure out what is the reason why people are slow in getting services, and using these numbers as a way to talk to clinics about, okay, how long are you really waiting, through better tracking of doctors' time and patients' time to wait. Techniques like advanced access do that, but this gives a way to engage in that conversation because we have real numbers on days' wait. Thank you for your time.